Kia ora koutou this morning, everyone. We're into our third week of our Romans series, Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And as we probably know, Paul was a prolific writer, and he was attributed to writing 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. That's a lot, right? That's heaps. It's almost half. So he was big on letter writing. And he wrote this letter to the church in Rome because he thought he wouldn't be able to get there himself, and he wanted to share with them, encourage them, and challenge them. And I think if Paul was alive today, he'd be like an amazing emailer, and he would be like sending messages of encouragement and dropping emails to people in inboxes all around the world. So like, I think he'd be emailing people all the week and be like, hey, I got this word for you, got this encouragement for you. So we're going to continue to delve into this awesome letter of Romans. And I'm just going to do a small recap. So 2 weeks ago, Bevan shared from Romans, sort of the first portion of Romans, and part of it was on chapter 3, and it talked about that everyone has fallen short of God's glory, that we're all sinners, and through our sin we have been separated from God. But is the awesome part. But by faith, we can be justified through Christ because of Jesus taking on our sin through his death and resurrection. We can be reconciled to God. Awesome, hey. And through Jesus, we're made right in the sight of God, which is so awesome. And then last week, we looked at Romans chapter 4, you might remember, and it talked about that we're justified by faith. And Paul used the example of Abraham, as our example, and we kind of unpacked that last week, didn't we? That God is looking for our faith, for our trust in him. And so today we're going to be delving into, my eyesight's not as strong as I thought, I'll just move it a bit closer. So today we're delving into Romans 5 and it's verses 1 to 12. So it pretty much follows straight on from chapter 4. And what I'm going to do this morning is instead of reading out the whole passage like I often do at the beginning of the message, I'm going to read it out as with every point. So each, we're just going to go through it. Through the message. So I thought about it again and I thought it's like Paul's giving us his third email installment this morning. Or maybe he's done like a YouTube channel and we're watching the third part of this channel. And what I've kind of framed it around this morning, and you'll probably see it on the screen, is that it's three we statements that we're going to look at this morning. It's we live in hope, we live for growth, and we live through reconciliation. So it's going to be framed around these three statements. And the first one we're going to look at this morning is that we live in hope. Verses 1 to 2 of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. This morning I have a question for you. Has anyone been to Buckingham Palace? Yes, I see a few hands. And has anyone stand outside those magnificent gates, watching that pomp and ceremony of the changing of the guard? They've got the horses, they've got the King's Guard, they've got their amazing red uniforms and their fluffy bearskin hats. And they have this amazing precision, don't they, in which they do their duties. And it's a real spectacle, isn't it? And it's really, really cool to watch, really exciting, like a real tick off your British to-do list. But have any of you been granted an audience with His Majesty the King? Anyone? No one. Have you been ushered into His presence by the Royal Chamberlain and getting down to have a tea and a chat? No one? No, me neither. I was over there a few years ago now. I was talking to Brett and Charlene about it this morning. I was there a few years ago, and I got to the gates, but I didn't get in either. Didn't make the cut. Close, but so far. And I would have loved to have met Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth. She was an amazing lady, wasn't she? And so this morning in verse 2, Paul explains that we have gained access by faith into God's grace and we continue to stand in His grace. The Greek word used in this passage for access is prosagoge, and it means to usher someone into the presence of royalty. And as we read, that's what Jesus has done for us. Hey, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. There's no longer a barrier. There's no figurative gates between us. We have access to God, the creator of the universe, our creator, the holiest being. Isn't that so amazing? We didn't have access to King Charles or Queen Elizabeth, but we always have access and constant access to God. And we can boast in that, in God, in the hope of God's glory. Because we have access to Him. Hey, Ian. This boasting is positive because it's boasting of God's grace and His fulfillment of His purpose for us as His creation. This is why we can live in hope, because we have that access to God. How awesome, hey? How awesome is it that there's no barrier for us, that has been created a way where we can have full access to God. The second thought of this passage this morning that starts in verse 3 is that we live through growth. And verse 3 to 5 say, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through His Holy Spirit, which has been given to us." It's a really interesting piece of this passage. And I've heard another officer, who's also a Hurricanes fan, I've heard someone say that this is the memory verse of Hurricanes supporters. Come along with me for this. Because we're always getting our character built up. We have to persevere. We get our character built up each season. But we never lose hope that one day our 2016 winning season is going to repeat, right? Yeah. Yes. Amen. May it be so. So that's just a funny way of explaining it. Or as the band REM, who I know some of you will know, be fans of, REM puts it in this way: everybody hurts sometimes, right? We all go through hardship, suffering in our lives. It's unavoidable, isn't it, unfortunately? It's a natural part of life. The Christ followers in Rome, who this letter was written to, would certainly have known about it. They were persecuted for their beliefs under Emperor Nero. Their suffering also came through living situations like poverty, poor health, and other things that they worked through. And us too, all the way forward in 2025, go through suffering. It may be health, it could be financial, it could be relational, and there's a number of reasons that we can insert there, hey. It can be different for each of us. And it can really be hard when you're in it and you're in that space to see the light at the end of the tunnel when we're in the thick of it. So often we can't control it, which is really hard too, isn't it? Something that's happening and we can't control it. Or we can't control the situation which causes the suffering. But Paul, in this passage, is pointing out that we do have a choice over how we respond to suffering. There is a choice, and that's kind of the thought here. We can choose to simply dwell in our suffering, I guess, although that's not a bad thing, but we could stay there and stay dwelling in our suffering, or we can choose to kind of learn from it and grow from it, glory in it, so to speak, which leads to hope, which this passage clearly tells us it leads to hope. It can shape us in a way which gives us the stamina and ability to persevere, giving us perspective in those moments to keep going, to keep pushing forward, even in these moments of suffering or times of suffering. That foresight and strength in Jesus to see beyond the current struggle. We have that grounding in Jesus. And perseverance as it says, is character building. It shapes us. It builds in us strength and to know that we can go through it again when we go through suffering in the future. And that's a hard thing, isn't it? Because we know things will happen again, but we've got that fortitude, like Ben talked about, that we know that we can get through it because we've got that strength because we've done it before. It grows our patience too. Through the suffering, we wait, we hope, we grow. The ability not to get anxious, perhaps, and to trust God's timing, not our own. When we have a growth mindset through suffering, we find there can still be joy to be found. And isn't that so, like flipping things on its head? There can still be joy to be found because our foundation and our hope is in God. And we can see those glimmers and those moments of joy in the small things, in the everyday, as we persevere through our suffering. And in this shaping and in this time of growing through suffering, this real deep character building moments, hey, our character grows so much more when we have to go through those hard times, hey. We find God's hope. It builds our hope because we can see, you know, beyond the suffering, or see glimmers beyond the suffering to see ourselves becoming more like Jesus through his working in and through our suffering. Not saying he creates the suffering, but we can grow through the suffering and he can help us on that journey. It's quite deep, hey? It's quite a thing to take on. Suffering is not an easy thing to think about or talk about, and it can bring about hard stuff. But through that, when we have our foundation in Jesus, we can have that hope. We can have that joy because he is with us. This morning, I have an apple, which I stole from Kids Church. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. I'll give it back. We have this apple, and I have this chocolate bar, which I also stole from that basket. And you're thinking, who wants to have one of these? Anyone want an apple? No, no takers. Who wants a little chocky bar? Yes, I see that hand down there, Sarah. Bad throw, sorry. One is not going to build anything in you, right? Or sustain your body. So like the chocolate bar is yum and it is fun, but it's probably not going to build a lot in you. But the other, maybe not perhaps the obvious choice, is going to sustain you in some way, isn't it? It's got some nutrients, it's got fiber, it's got things that we need. It's going to help us grow. One has longer term benefits. So you can see here I'm using this really low-lying example. But here is a choice, just a visual. We have control over how we respond to something. Hey, we can choose something that's got the long-term stuff that helps us grow, like our faith in Jesus, or we can choose to kind of just stay where we are in our suffering. Just a very simple example. If anyone wants the apple, they're welcome to it. And then we move into another part, and I love the part that follows in this passage because it says this hope will not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And when I was researching this passage, in one of the books that I read, it said about this verse, and it gave us gave a picture, and I want us to imagine it this morning, if you will. Imagine a really dry, parched field. It's all brown, you can see the cracks through it, you can see the dust coming off it because it's so, so dry. It hasn't seen water in months. It's just so parched. It's in drought, suffering through the heat, the cracks on the surface. It's really dusty and dry. But then imagine in an instant, and we've seen this in Wellington, in an instant the heavens open and rain pours down like a flood over and over and over. There's so much rain, right? There's so much rain coming down that the ground can't even soak it up. There's just so much. It can't even soak it up fast enough. And that's what this passage is saying about God's love for us. And this is what this book was saying. Let's imagine you're like a dry, parched field, but God's love is so much and it comes over us so much like a flood that we can't even contain all of it. Imagine that, hold on to that thought that God's love is so much that we can't contain all of it. So we live in hope through having access to Jesus. We've got access to the King of Kings. And we can choose to live for growth, even in the hardest of times, because Jesus is working within us. Jesus is our foundation. And it brings us to this third point, or this third thought in this passage. And I've entitled it, We Live Through Reconciliation. And we'll pick it up from verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Jack Reacher, he's a cult hero, right? He's a man on a mission, the lone wolf out to get revenge on all his enemies. Well, if you read the books, he's out to get revenge on anyone's enemies, actually. He's ready to jump on it. This book series by Lee Child with Jack Reacher, he's the ex-army man, tough guy, finding people, sussing out their motives, and going across country and taking down people one by one by one. And it sold over 100 million copies. Has anyone read one? Yes, they're pretty popular, hey? So there, Lee Child, the books have sold 100 million copies. It's huge, right? There are now 29 books. And if you've read all of them, come up to me afterwards because I will give you a chocolate. That is a lot of books. And there's also been some movies with Tom Cruise. And now a TV series, which is actually pretty good. But it's impressive, right? It's had such a reach. People are loving Jack Reacher. Because our world loves a good revenge story, right? We get excited when a movie or a book is getting to the climax and when the hero is going to take down the despicable villain. We love it. Inside, we're all cheering them on, right? We're like, yeah, get him. This is so good. Inside, we are just like so happy that they're going to get vengeance. And you can see it, like, hello, we've got like our local Lord of the Rings, got that theme. You know, you've got Star Wars, Mission Impossible. I mean, you could throw any movie or book basically into there, right? But in this passage, Jesus shows us what it's all about. And it's not revenge. Crazy, hey, it's not revenge. Most people wouldn't die for a good person. But when we, all of us, were God's enemies, and that's what it says, enemies, Jesus laid down his life for us. It's the total opposite of revenge, hey? You've got like revenge over here and reconciliation. They are not close friends. That immeasurable love was shown in reconciliation. We were God's enemies. We stood for everything he didn't. We were against him. We had turned away and we were living for ourselves. But, I love all the buts, in that moment, he chose reconciliation over revenge. He decided to send his son to become a man and die for us, raised to life again and reconcile us to him, to make good on the relationship, to turn us, an enemy, into a family member, a son or daughter of God. What a huge, probably incomprehensible act of love and reconciliation. And Paul really wants this point in this message, in his passage, to hit home about reconciliation because he repeats it three times. He says, we were reconciled to him. Then he says, having been reconciled, and then he goes on to say, we have now received reconciliation. so we can continue to choose each day to live our lives for God, living in reconciliation to Him. We can also choose reconciliation in our relationships with others. And you know what? We're human, right? And there might be times when we want to get revenge, or we think about a cool comeback that we want to say to someone because something has happened and it's affected us. Or we might choose or want to hold a grudge or get bitter towards someone over a situation. That's kind of natural, isn't it? We've probably all been there. But our example from God is to reconcile. It's all about reconciliation with God and with one another. And I think that's so beautiful because it's so different to what we see and what we know. Hey, revenge is over here and reconciliation is here. So we've come through this passage, or through this part of the passage, and we've had these three we statements. We live in hope, we live for growth, and we live through reconciliation. We live in hope, a recap. We have access, and we live in the presence of Jesus, and He gives us hope, which He will complete His purpose for us and in us. We live for growth. We can choose. It's a choice. We always have a choice how we can respond to suffering and hard times, and good times too, actually. We can let it shape us, develop our character, which will lead to hope and lead to character building within us. We live through reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God, the greatest gift. Even though we were His enemies, all of us, we were turned against Him, He shows us through His example that we too should choose reconciliation in our relationships with others, even if it's the hardest choice, if it's the hard thing to do. And perhaps this morning, as we kind of ponder this, we ponder this passage and what has been saying to us this morning, maybe this morning something stuck out to you. Maybe it's the part where we have full access to God. We don't have to wait for an invite. We're not outside the gates at Buckingham Palace waiting for a moment to rush in. We have access to God. We have access to our Creator through Jesus. Always, there is no barrier. And that is so amazing. And maybe that's the promise you want to hold on to and continue to hold on to this morning. Maybe something about the suffering, and maybe you're going through something, a hard moment, something that you're journeying with. Maybe the character building through suffering and the hope that is built has struck a chord with you. Maybe it's made you think of something in a different way that you might want to dwell on or reflect on this morning. Or it could be reconciliation, that really countercultural thing where our whole world loves a bit of a revenge story, but we are called to reconciliation. We are called to reconciliation with Jesus, but also with each other. Maybe that has placed, sparked something for you, or made you think of a situation, or made us collectively think about how we can example reconciliation in our lives to others, that gift of reconciliation. So what we are going to do this morning is that we're going to have some music play, maybe the team or perhaps a song, and we just want you to perhaps talk to someone next to you or someone around you if you feel comfortable. If not, you can do it on your own, but maybe chat to someone about something that might have stood out to you this morning, because when you share something, it kind of settles more with you. Hey, it dwells more with you if you share something with others. So perhaps this morning you might want to share with someone near you about something that God has placed on your heart through this message or through something else. And then as that time comes, then we will come together and sing in worship. But I'll just pray before we move into this time. God, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for all the letters that Paul wrote that we can still read and learn and grow from, God, and learn so much more about You and Your will for us and how You want us to live our lives. We just thank You for this morning, for Your hope, for the growth that can happen in us even through hard times. And we just thank You for Your gift of reconciliation that You have been the ultimate example to us in how we can live our lives in reconciliation. We just pray as we reflect, maybe chat to someone, God, that you would just really speak to us, encourage us through this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.